Hi, this is Babelito.
And this is Favi Fav, and you're listening to a Mordida Minisode, a small bite in between our full episodes to tide you over until next Thursday.
Take it away, vámonos!
Mordida! 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 Mordida!
Hello, hello. Hey, hello, hello. Hello, hello. Hey, hello, hello.
Que show, que show,
que show, que show.
Ay, la Erika, la
Babelito
Erika.
Badu. How are you doing, dude?
I'm good. I'm tired. The semester is wrapping up, and I'm just like, I'm ready.
I can't believe it, dude. You taught so many classes this semester.
It's crazy.
But thank you for inviting me to your class yesterday.
How wonderful was that?
So fucking cool. So, if y'all don't know, Babelito is a doctor and he teaches at UNLV. He's an art historian. And yesterday he had a guest lecturer from Honduras to tell his Latin contemporary art class about one of the biennials in Honduras.
Yeah, this is, we had Dr. Gustavo Larache. Shout out, Gustavo. He Skyped and he showed us the curatorial program behind the 2009 biennial, which happened right after the coup d'etat, and then that installed a military regime that is still there today. And what was interesting about yesterday's class is that as that happened in 2009, but there were elections on Sunday, to get rid of the military regime. And they still haven't been able to get the results. So there's all this unrest happening in Honduras right now.
It's insane. And nobody's covering it in the media.
Nobody.
There's like raids and people are just like rioting all over the place. It's insane. Yeah.
And that was very telling. And that was important for us to close our class with that. To show my students that Latin America is not this exotic Frida fantasy, right? That it is a real place. And these things that people talked about in these objects that we saw from Venezuela, Argentina, Chile, Colombia, it's a real thing. And it was happening at the same time as he was giving his class. It was wonderful. Thank you so much, Gustavo, again.
Yeah. And bringing it to light. Because I had no idea. So I learned a lot. So now you guys can Google it, loca. And again, it's like Puerto Rico still doesn't have electricity.
Exactly.
So it's like, but nobody's talking about that.
No. Everybody's too busy with other things. But anyway.
Anyway, surprise, another mordida in between the full episode. So last week we brought you an episode with Elier Rodriguez. And this week we mentioned Mario in the episode a little bit. We're going to bring you an interview I did with Mario for this special mordida.
Ay, qué lindo el Mariecito.
Mario is the best.
He is super cute.
He introduced me to everybody basically in Austin. Not everybody, but most of the people that I was hanging out with. And
just from reaching out through social media,
he listens to us and he reached out to me through Instagram. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is like the power of Instagram. He has something like 20-something thousand followers.
Damn, que no los pase.
I know, right? He can cash in them fossil checks and shit.
Cashing them outside.
Cashing them outside, eating outside with dogs.
How about that?
So anyway, I sit down with Mario at the Museum of Human Achievement, and I just, you know, want to get to know him a little bit. And we talk about his Instagram and his artwork and what he does in Austin and wada wada,
the motherfucking cuchara.
So, Babelekis, will you do a little time machine music? We're going back to September to beautiful Austin, Texas.
Será mi placer.
Okay. All right. Hi. I'm still in Texas, guys, in Austin, Texas, here at the Museum of Human Achievement. Yes, that is a real place. And I'm here with the one and only Mario Villanueva, MJVC.rocks. How are you, Mario?
I'm good. Pretty energized.
So, good. Yeah. Well, you've had a few coffees today.
Yeah, I had like two cups. So
that's very important. Let's talk about that. There's so many coffee shops in Austin, Texas. How do you choose the one you go to?
Whichever one's closest to me. I don't have a car, so I bike ride a lot. I used to go to this one called Once Over on
What is it?
It's Once Over Coffee.
Oh.
That was like my favorite place. They have this taco truck outside. It's called El Primo. Didn't y'all mention it?
Yeah, that's a good taco truck.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
I know the guy who like painted it. Gerardo. I don't know if you know him. Arellano.
Cool.
That was my place. I would always go there like on Mondays because I'm off on Mondays.
Yeah.
So like I'd get like two tacos, go to the coffee shop, go to the back, get a nice chai, just work on stuff. And it was perfect.
Where do you work right now?
I work at the Blanton Museum of Art. I'm a gallery assistant and I also freelance outside of that. Right now I'm working with a nonprofit doing their social media. It's fun. So
you're an artist, you're a photographer. I know that you've done painting. You got a degree in painting, a BFA, I saw.
Yeah.
But now I see that you are a content creator, a social media influencer.
Yeah.
A really great photographer. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you get into, first of all, what the fuck is an influencer?
I mean, for me personally, it doesn't bother me like the word influencer, but I know that outside, like there's people who have like an issue with the word influencer, and it's like, I don't get it. Maybe because I haven't like researched enough, but so when I was in college, I was a team leader for this group called IG San Marcos.
Yeah.
And so basically it was an Instagram community geared towards the college population. It was me and like five other people, I think. Yeah. So I was part of that. And then thanks to Javier.
Your friend. Shout out to Javi Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Another social media influencer.
Yeah. So yeah.
We'll put the link to his Instagram in the description on our website.
Yeah. Thanks to him. I was suggested. He was suggested first. And
so what Instagram did before it was owned by Facebook?
Yes. I'm not sure. This was in 2014.
They would scout Instagrams and then feature them on the main Instagram page?
So they would follow you.
And they would follow you.
And once you get followed, I'm not sure if it's different for everyone, but I know that for me and Javier, I'm not entirely sure for Javier, but I know it's like they follow you for like a good certain amount of time. I think for me it was like 3 weeks, and within those 3 weeks you're suggested. So let's say you created an Instagram account when I was suggested. They were following me, and whenever you create an account on Instagram, I think you automatically follow Instagram.
Okay.
And then you know how like on Instagram there's like this little arrow on people's profiles, and you click on it and it's like suggests other people. So I was there. And so like if you had just created an account, I would be suggested to you as someone to follow. And so like within those 3 weeks, I think I went from 1,000 followers to 35,000 followers.
God damn.
And it was crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So what happened?
So like,
how did you deal with that fame?
It was weird. Well, okay. So like, okay. So I mean, it has its positives. It has its negatives because people would be suggested by Instagram to follow me. And a lot of the times those people that had just created those accounts, don't go back to those accounts. So a lot of those accounts that follow me are actually not there. So it's just fake or like empty ghost accounts.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, I mean, that's like the reality of it. You know, like you'll see people who have all these followers, but a lot of the times those numbers,
they have like
people,
three likes on each picture because they're not real accounts.
Then also like the way the Instagram algorithm works now.
Can we talk about how fucked up that is?
Yeah. So
Facebook really fucked up Instagram because there was something special about seeing it chronologically and just like how depending on your followers, you know, like what they put out at what time. And now it's just like whatever. I don't know how they curate it now or how the algorithm works. Do you know?
I've read some articles. I can't name them on the top of my head. Based on what I've read, I think the algorithm now is based off of like the people that you follow or the people that you interact with the most. I know that on the stories, the people that you see at the top, I think, are the people that you interact with the most. And then also, you know how you
that
like
you stalk the most
pretty too. much.
Yeah.
And then also like whenever you open up your your story and you check the numbers. Like, I think I was reading this article. It was like talking about like, I guess like how people know who likes you or like who's like, you know, wants to like sleep with you or something like that. It was like a stupid article and read it.
I'm going to open my Instagram right now and see who I want to sleep with.
No, it's like, yeah, it's like based, the people that look at your story the most are the people who are like keeping up with you the most.
Okay. Chicano Eats. I want Bricia Lopez, Buffalo Tear. Shout out to you. Katya, and there you are, Mario. Okay. Damn, that's pretty accurate. So it's like, it's basically people that you interact with the most.
Yeah.
I feel like it also, what I read recently, I don't read, I'm just kidding. What I listened to recently on a podcast was they also take into account like how long you view a photo, like how long you stay on it.
Yeah.
And then it'll bring those people up more. So you don't necessarily have to like it. It'll just kind of track how much time you spend looking at. Okay, so, you know, I roll my eyes and I make fun of people that call themselves influencers. But, you know, I do realize that that's the world we live in. Instagram, Facebook, well, not so much Facebook, but Instagram and just social media in general is really important, especially for artists getting out there. I mean, I know a few artists, for example, my friend Yvette Mayorga, who we've had on the podcast before, curators found her through her Instagram and she got into residencies and art shows because of it. So, yeah. I mean, it definitely is a way for you to be visible, I guess, influence people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens in the future, because I remember when Vine first came out, I was like, this is it. This is going to take over. This is the new Instagram. Instagram's dead.
Yeah.
And look what happened, right? What opportunities have you, now that you're so visible on Instagram, what are some of the things that you're able to do through that platform?
So I guess like an example is like last year, I was chosen out of, I forgot how many people, but it was through the National Park Foundation. They do this thing every year. I'm not sure if they did it this year, but last year they reached out to people to apply for the Find Your Park expedition. They chose 8 people. I want to say 8. I need to look at the website. I think there's 7 or 8. I don't know. But
just lie.
Yeah.
Just be confident. And
there's
lie.
Like 7 people.
Yeah.
And I was one of them, and we got to go to California. We went to San Francisco. We went to Yosemite, and the whole purpose for us being there was to expose this trip to our own followers, to show them that, hey, like, the national parks like exist, they're here, they're not just for like your average white person, they're also for minorities, they're also for brown people, they're for everyone. So, you know, like, come out and enjoy what, you know, everything that's there to see. And it was one of the best trips I've ever been in my life.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so we went to San Francisco. We went to a lot of the like national park areas, I guess, like parks. And we got to do bike rides around the Golden Gate. And we went to some like museums that were dedicated to immigrants that showed up back in like the 1800s through ships. It was an eye-opener. And then it was my first time being in there.
Yeah.
And I got to go to the Castro area one night, and it was insane because I feel like compared to Austin, the way that people live here as queer people versus California and San Francisco, it made me realize that Austin still needs to do more progress to get to that point. And it made me realize that Austin's not really that liberal. It's pretty conservative. People just don't see it because they're in the city in the moment and they think that, oh, well, I can be whoever I want. But it's only because the people who are in charge are allowing you to do that.
Yeah. Just because you're eating outside with dogs doesn't mean you're progressive.
Yeah. And then
they love to do that here.
Yeah. And then so after that, after San Francisco, we drove to Yosemite. So, yeah. So we were provided vehicles by Subaru, 4 to 5 vehicles, and we, as like the influencers, were like allowed to drive these cars. So I thought it was so cool because we were in this different place and we got to drive across the state, and it was crazy. Once we got to Yosemite, we did some bike rides. We hiked up trails. We saw some falls, and it was beautiful. I think one morning, the first morning we were there, it was chilly. We were all sad. We had like all the gear. We walked up to, I can't remember the spot, what it was called, but it overlooked the valley and into mm-hmm. Half Dome. And once you reach the edge of this cliff, it's like you look into it and it's like where am I? Like, it was a different planet. Like, it was insane. And it was crazy. I felt like it felt like a dream.
Yeah.
And just because like nature and everything that was there, it was just, it was beautiful. So yeah, no, it was fun. Once we came back, once the trip was over, me and my friend Victoria, who was also one of the people chosen, we went back. Actually, it was me, Victoria, and Aaron. We went back to the to San Francisco, and we, before our flight left, we went to the SF MoMA.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was nice. I definitely want to go back to San Francisco again, but just like go explore and see what's out there.
So were you the only brown person on that trip, or were all of you guys like minorities?
Yeah, we were all minorities. Oh, cool. It was me, queer Latinx person, my friend Aaron, who I know is adopted. Yeah, everyone was person of color.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
So I like that you touched about I like that you talked about representation and how you don't feel like there's a lot of spaces for Latinx, queer, people of color here in Austin. What is that about?
So I had a feeling that it was like that before I moved here. Lived in San Marcos, where Texas State is at. And I would come and visit Austin, and I would see it, but it wasn't like something that I was living through. And then once I got here, I think that the first year for sure, like the first few months, I actually like went through a really bad time. Like, I was kind of depressed and
yeah,
like not knowing what I was doing. And I was working at a Starbucks, and I feel like, it's like, where are my people at? And going to events, like the first few months, it's like I don't know, it's a little depressing, because it's like you're told in college that you're gonna do these things, and your professors, you know, they motivate you. But then once you're in the real world, and I'm sure a lot of people go through that, especially as minorities, we go out into the real world and we realize that a lot of these jobs that are told that can be for us are, it's harder for us to get them versus like your average white person. And it's really frustrating, because it's like, I feel like the adults, like the older generation, they don't necessarily understand, especially professors, because in college, you like, especially in my college, like I don't think I ever saw, there's hardly any professors of color. So I feel like for my professor who's white, it's easy for them to tell me, oh yeah, like you're gonna go out into the real world and you're gonna get this job, and you know, you just have to try. But they don't understand my perspective as a brown person. For me, it's gonna be way harder than my peer who is white and moved to Austin. And
I know that with your Instagram, you're providing a space by taking photos of beautiful people of color and minorities. When I really enjoy following you, as was proved when I checked my Instagram. You also do other things. I know that you have a website, you have a blog.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and that project?
So last year, when I was like going through these motions of like realizing what the world was, I think it was like during the summer, the idea about creating this like online presence for queer people like started developing. It was around the Orlando shooting. I actually thought about creating the space before the Orlando shooting. And then when the Orlando shooting happened, it like made me want to do it even more. especially because like the Orlando shooting, like a lot of it was a lot of brown people who died. Yeah. And I feel like it sucks what happened. Like it was really bad. But I feel like an event like that, for people to realize that there's like queer brown people out there, like like people needed to see that. And I'm not,
yeah, and they immediately a lot of news organizations ignored the fact,
yeah,
that most of the people murdered were people of color,
yeah,
specifically Latinx people,
yeah,
and that was like a direct attack on us, but they made it, they sensationalized it and made it a Muslim thing.
It's always been like
because
that
because Islamophobia is, you know, gets votes.
Yeah.
In this country, which is really sad.
Like, I know that, like for example, like Stonewall, like a lot of the people who took part into that movement were people of color, but you see it in the media today and it's like, it's portrayed as like something that was created by non-people. Like,
yeah, the movie had a white savior in it.
Yeah, and I never watched it. I'm never going to watch it.
Yeah.
So once that happened, I was like, okay, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And so... I started like writing down my ideas and I started thinking about a name, a logo, who to interview.
Yeah.
And then the first person that I interviewed was Anthony Flores, who actually works at the Manil.
What is that?
It's a museum or it's a gallery in Houston.
Okay.
And it's like really well known. It's like one of my favorite places to go when I go there in Houston. And he was cool. I approached him because he interned at the Mexicarte Museum.
Yeah. Shout out to Mexicarte.
Yeah.
Beautiful displays right now for Day of the Dead.
And so he was an intern after me, and we started following each other on Instagram. And it took me a while to like realize that he was interning there, like which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of encouraged me to approach him because I'm very shy. So like. Approaching strangers is like,
yeah. It's nerve wracking. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's something nice about social media.
Yeah.
It's like, we're talking, we're hanging out while I'm in Austin because of it.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, oh, this guy looks cool. And then I messaged you.
Yeah.
Or you messaged me. I don't know. I don't remember.
I messaged you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And now look at us.
Yeah.
Best buddies, bitch. Okay.
Pablito's going to be jealous.
No, he's not. He should be, actually. Yes, that's right. Okay, so what name did you decide on for your blog, website, for your initiative, for your movement?
Único Journal.
Único
for short. I mean, Único because it's unique in Spanish. And I feel like the blog is about individuals within the LGBTQ community. And what they're doing with their lives, if they're doing something important, if they're just doing what they feel like they need to do to be themselves. And I feel like that's unique. So I went with Único. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, I love that you're doing that. And I encourage you and all of your amazing friends that I've met while I've been here to keep creating those spaces. And not only online, but in person, in real life. There's a lot of great opportunities, and I feel like it's important what you're doing, because I feel like, you know, you need to see something to know that it exists and to know that things are possible, right? So something that blew me away the last year was being a part of Latinos Who Lunch and finding all these amazing Latinx people across the United States to work with. For example, Rudy Blue in L.A., you know, he puts together RuPaul's Drag Con, but he also does all these queer Latinx events in L.A., one of them called Scum. And that's like encouraging me. Like when I go back to Las Vegas, I want to do like a queer Latinx night at a bar downtown or something.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was possible or even think about that until I was part of an event like that. And who knows, maybe like four people will show up, but that's better than nothing, right?
It's the quality of people versus the quantity.
Yes, so, yeah. Exactly. But I feel like that's so possible here. I mean, I've been to a lot of the Chulita Vinyl Club events. So I know there's people out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, it's a little bit different than what you're doing, mm-hmm. but I feel like something like that would be so incredible to see too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And also in the art world, I know that your friends are having art shows and stuff. And across all of the United States and all cities, anytime I've been to art events, it's mostly white. Let's just keep it 100% funky, right? It's it's mostly white people, but that can also change.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm happy that you're, I guess my whole point is I'm just happy that you're thinking about visibility, queer visibility, and you're putting these people's stories out there. That's really important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, like I've been doing it for a year, and hopefully, I mean, what I'm doing hopefully turns into something bigger. Right now, I feel like I'm just like looking out for people to interview and just get the blog more, keep it flowing, I guess. Keep it going. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you're going to get so many followers from Latino to Lunch because this podcast is very popular. So where can people find you?
So people can check out the Instagram. It's called Unico Journal. They can also check my website out, which is www.mjvc.rocks. Or on my own Instagram, it's mjvc.rocks. So.
Awesome. And so what's next for you? What does the future hold for Mario?
Right now, I feel like I'm 25. I'm so figuring things out. Half of the time, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. So, but I mean,
that doesn't change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, I mean, I think I'm in a good spot right now. And I'm pretty grateful for it. I think I'm just, yeah, I'm just going with the flow kind of and seeing where things can lead.
Awesome.
Austin, probably not living in Austin in the next 2 to 3 years, maybe living somewhere else, like, I don't know, San Francisco. I would really love to live there, but I know it's expensive.
Come to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah.
You're like, no. Don't you have friends there? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're my friend.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to Latinos Who Lunch. I know you're an avid podcast listener.
Yeah.
thank you for introducing me to so many amazing people while I've been here too, because that was awesome to have immediately when I got here, like just a community of people around, of creative people. You know, that always helps.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
To introduce you to a city. All right, Mario.
All right.
Say bye.
See y'all later. Bye.
And we're back.
Bienvenida de regreso.
Hi.
You know what?
Say it.
Shout out to all those gays in Austin.
Okay.
So chill. No se andan con mamadas. I just love them. All of them. Todos juntitos.
What are you trying to say?
That's it.
Oh. I'm not going to say no more. You know, it's true. It was just so nice to be surrounded by all those great guys while I was there. Well, people. It wasn't just guys. I'm not going to gender it. Fuck. I'm already in trouble. Anyway, Mario, thank you for sitting down and talking with me. And I'm really excited about visiting Austin again and seeing all my friends again. We have one more interview left from Austin, Texas with our friend Coca Engreñas. Remember them?
Oh my God, I love them.
They're so cool.
Yes, yes.
So you're going to hear that soon, maybe next week. I don't know what we're doing.
A la chingada.
A la chingada. We got to get our lives together.
Let's take an opportunity since we're doing this outro.
What?
To congratulate our friend Christy. Happy birthday. Yes.
Yeah, but this is going to come out on Sunday.
Ay, pues, ¿qué tiene? Happy birthday atrasado.
Okay, happy birthday, Christy.
We love you.
If you haven't heard from Christy, go back to the Gordita Supreme 1 and 2. She's one of my gorditas, so.
And that voice, you never forget.
You'll never forget, Christy.
Nunca se olvida.
Oh my God, our number one Korean-American fan.
I can't wait. Let's eat, man.
Okay, we gotta go. We have a dinner because we're going to Christy's birthday. And, you know, Christy always picks the best places.
She does.
We are going to grow.
Her Yelp game is on point.
Anytime I travel with her. Mm-mm. Anyways, okay. Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
See you next week.